got a sprain or an itch.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, Medical Director and Physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
If everybody had a nose across the USA, then everybody be served like California.
Ah, surfing, hot sunny days, vacations for many, and proximity to the beach, and of course lots of outdoor activities, make us more susceptible to sunburns right here in Florida. Skin cancer, well, it's the most common cancer in the United States, and UV, that's ultraviolet light, light exposure is its most preventable risk factor. And of course, preventing sunburn is important, as just one sunburn with blisters in youth can double the chance of getting skin cancer later in life. Think about it. Just one episode doubles your chance of getting skin cancer. But before Carmen and I can talk about preventing sunburn, we'd like to tell you what to do if you get sunburned, even minimally, as when you just show some reddening of the skin. Although the damage of a sunburn can't be undone, there are things you can do to speed up the healing process and soothe your oh-so-red, inflamed skin.
According to the director of cosmetic and clinical research in the Department of Dermatology at Mount Sinai Hospital, as soon as you realize your skin is a little too red, take an over-the-counter anti-inflammatory. This can help stop inflammation and redness from getting any worse.
The next step is to cool your skin. Now, you may not believe it, but a cool bath may be better than a shower. You may even add a cup of whole oats to the cool bath water for extra calming power. If you can't take that cool bath, then the next best thing is the cool shower. Rinse off with cool water to soothe skin and remove any chlorine, salt water, or sand that could be lingering and can cause even more irritation. Now, once you've dried off from a cool bath or shower, you need to moisturize. Not just one time, but regularly. This means that you'll need to use a rich moisturizer on your skin several times during the day. So look for one that contains aloe, glycerin, or hyaluronic acid. If it's a small area like your nose, neck, or ears, try a 1% hydrocortisone ointment to reduce inflammation.
It is a good idea. Keep your moisturizer in the fridge. Next, you can try using cool compress soaked in skin milk, egg whites, or green tea. The proteins in milk and egg whites coat and calm the burn, while green tea reduces inflammation. The sun not only takes moisture away from the skin, but also from the rest of your body. Dehydration is one reason why you feel extra tired after a long day in the sun.
So counteract the sun's damage by drinking lots of water and eating water-filled fruits like watermelons, honeydew, cantaloupe, or even grapes. Remember the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? It couldn't be more true than with sunburns. First on the list has got to be sun protection.
But even with all the advertising of sunburn creams and lotions and all the articles written about the dangers of sunburn, over a third of all adults reported having a sunburn in the previous year. First of all, sunscreen is not the only way to protect ourselves against UV radiation. The best way may be to use a layered approach.
Use a sunscreen. Try to stay in the shade as much as possible and wear clothing made from tightly woven fabric. And don't forget your eyes. Use sunglasses. Now, here's another good idea. Wear wide-brim hats. This protects not only your face and head, but your shoulders, which often get the brunt of the sunburn, since they face directly towards the sun most of the day. Before getting to the sunscreens, let's talk a little about the cause of sunburns.
We have to be careful when we listen to the weather and the weathermen give us a safe time to be exposed to the sun. He may say 5 minutes, 10 minutes, etc. However, what is really important is not the amount of time that you spend in the sun, but the cumulative exposure to the UV rays that you get. The time that the weathermen give us is an educated guess. Some will be affected more than others, and some areas of Jacksonville will have more or less UV at any given time of the day, so be careful.
You may not know it, but UV light comes in two flavors, UVA and UVB. The UVA rays, they tend to cause premature aging of the skin. That's called photoaging. But the UVB, on the other hand, they typically cause the skin cancers and the sunburns themselves. Several years ago, in fact, in 1974, the sun protection factor was developed. You probably know it as SPF. It's a measurement of protection against UVB rays without factoring in the UVA radiation at all. It measures fraction of sunburn-producing UV rays that reach the skin. For example, let's take a sunblock with an SPF of 15. This means that 1/15 of the burning radiation will reach the skin in a given amount of time. Now, this assumes that the sunscreen is applied evenly at a thick dosage of 2 milligrams per square centimeter.
So a user can determine the effectiveness of a sunscreen by multiplying the SPF factor by the length of time it takes for him or her to suffer a burn without sunscreen.
So if your skin would normally burn after 10 minutes in the sun, applying an SPF 15 sunscreen would allow you to stay in the sun without burning for approximately 150 minutes. Again, that's a factor of 15 times longer.
Remember, this is a rough estimate that depends on a number of factors and not just the time in the sun. These factors include skin type, intensity of sunlight, and amount of sunscreen use.
SPF is actually a measure of protection from amount of UVB exposure, and it is not meant to help you determine duration of exposure. I said that the sunscreen would have to be applied for a minimum of 2 milligrams per centimeter of skin. Since I don't know of anyone who takes a thickness meter to the beach, the best way to describe this would be to say that it's around 1 ounce for full body coverage, and reapplying, remember, every 2 hours. You may be asking yourself, well, what's an ounce? Well, 1 ounce of sunscreen is enough to fill just about a shot glass. Now, I looked up one SPF 50 sunscreen, and the cost of a 2 ounce tube was around $3.50. This would give you only 2 applications per tube, so staying 4 hours at the beach would literally use up an entire tube.
The big problem is that most people under apply sunscreens using 1/4 to 1/2 the amount required. Using half the amount does not give you half the protection. It simply does not work that way.
Using half the required amount of sunscreen only provides the square root of the SPF. So a half application of an SPF 30 would only provide an effective SPF of 5.5. In other words, the SPF scale is not linear. It's easier if I give you some more examples. SPF 15 blocks 93% of UVB rays. SPF 30 blocks 97% of UVB rays. And SPF 50, just 1% more, 98% of UVB rays. So one way of looking at this is that SPF 30 sunscreens only give you 4% more protection than SPF 15 sunscreens.
And again, since it varies from one individual to another, its protection is different from each individual. Thus, if you one individual might be able to, say, spend 30 minutes outside before they sunburn, their SPF 30 product, for instance, is going to protect them for longer than it would an individual who burns after 10 minutes with sun exposure.
Interestingly, the FDA and the CDC recommend choosing a sunscreen with at least an SPF of 15, while the American Academy of Dermatology suggests at least an SPF of 30. But many authorities still consider even a 30 SPF as a bare minimum. When should you first apply the sunscreen? Well, really, you should start your first application of the sunscreen on dry skin 15 minutes before going outside. What if you can't measure an ounce, such as with spray-on sunscreen? You might be asking that question to yourself. Well, we suggest that you apply it as if you're spray painting, and then make sure to rub it in with your hands afterwards. And remember, with the spray sunscreens, avoid inhaling the product. You also need to know the lingo when buying sunscreen.
A broad spectrum sunscreen means that the product can protect against both UVA and UVB radiation. The term water resistant means that the sunscreen will offer protection for 40 minutes, while very water resistant means twice as long, or around 80 minutes.
Manufacturers cannot label sunscreens anymore as waterproof because all sunscreens eventually wash off. Now here's another set of confusing terms: physical and chemical protection. Physical sunscreens put a physical barrier, such as zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, between the skin and the sun, while a chemical one contains ingredients such as oxybenzone or octinoxate, for example. Most modern sunscreens combine physical and chemical protection for aesthetic purposes.
Dr. Don Davis suggested that people with sensitive skin or allergies might want to look for physical sunscreens containing zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, as they are usually hypoallergenics.
In addition, the FDA recommends that sunscreen not be worn by infants younger than 6 months, suggesting instead that they be kept in the shade and avoid sun exposure from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that's when the UV rays are at their strongest. By the way, window glass does block UVB radiation, but UVA rays, they can still penetrate, which over time causes the skin to thicken and wrinkle. It's time for our mid-show break, so Carmen and I will be back in just a moment.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. In the first half of the show, Carmen and I began talking about sunburns. You know, that common annoyance of these hot Florida summers. We've been describing the sunscreens, when and which are the most appropriate to use for protection. Did you know that over half of the U.S. high school students reported a sunburn in 2014, compared with a third of adults? Remember, there's no such thing as a healthy tan. In effect, a tan is really a sign that your skin has been damaged.
If you have already had that bad sunburn previously in your life, don't give up and stop using protection. You must still make your best effort to protect your skin every time you expose it to sunlight. However, if you have a more severe sunburn, you need to see a physician who may recommend a cream or lotion that contains antibiotics such as silver sulfadiazine or triple antibiotic ointment.
Early on in the program, we mentioned that one of the risks of sun exposure is dehydration. But there are, of course, many other causes of dehydration. You know, defining dehydration is relatively simple. It occurs when you use or lose more fluid than you take in.
Your body may not have enough water and other fluids to carry out its normal functions. If you don't replace lost fluids, you will get dehydrated. Anyone may become dehydrated, but the condition is especially dangerous for young children and older adults.
The most common cause of dehydration in young children is severe diarrhea and vomiting. Older adults naturally have a lower volume of water in their bodies, and they may have conditions or even take medications that increase the risk of dehydration. This means that even minor illnesses, such as infections affecting the lungs or bladder, can result in dehydration in older adults.
Dehydration also can occur in any age group if you don't drink enough water during hot weather. Especially if you are exercising vigorously, you can usually reverse mild to moderate dehydration by drinking more fluids. But severe dehydration needs immediate medical treatment.
You probably think your body, it's going to tell you if you're getting dehydrated. After all, isn't that what thirst is? But thirst isn't always a reliable early indicator of the body's need for water. Many people, especially the elderly, don't feel thirsty until they're already dehydrated. That's why it's so important to increase water intake during hot weather or when you're ill.
The signs and symptoms of dehydration in an infant and young children include dry mouth and tongue, absence of tears when crying, no wet diapers for 3 hours, sunken eyes and cheeks, a sunken soft spot on top of the skull, and general irritability. In the adults, the symptoms are a little different. Usually there is extreme thirst, but other symptoms include less frequent urination, dark color urine, fatigue, dizziness, and confusion.
Now here are the signs you need to look for if you're going to need to call your family physician. First, you need to call the doc if you or your loved one has had diarrhea for 24 hours or more, is irritable or disoriented, much sleepier, or even just less active than usual, maybe vomiting fluids or has bloody or black stool.
Causes of dehydration, apart from being in the sun too long, include diarrhea, vomiting, fever, excessive sweating, and increased urination.
In other words, decreased fluid intake or increased fluid loss. Severe acute diarrhea. That's diarrhea that comes on suddenly and violently. It can cause a tremendous amount of loss of water and electrolytes in a short amount of time. If you have vomiting along with diarrhea, you lose even more fluids and minerals.
In general, the higher your fever, the more dehydrated you may become. The problem worsens if you have a fever in addition to diarrhea and vomiting.
Remember, you also lose water when you sweat. If you do vigorous activity and don't replace fluids as you go along, you can become dehydrated. Hot, humid weather, that increases the amount you sweat and the amount of fluid you lose. Increased urination can be due to undiagnosed or uncontrolled diabetes. Even certain medications, such as the diuretics and some blood pressure medicines, they can also lead to dehydration, generally because they cause you to urinate more. Anyone can become dehydrated, but certain people are at a greater risk.
Infants and children are especially vulnerable to dehydration. One of the reasons is because they have a higher surface area to volume area, and therefore they also lose a higher proportion of their fluids from a high fever or burns. Young children often can't tell you that they are thirsty, nor can they get a drink for themselves.
As you age, your body's fluid reserves become smaller, your ability to conserve water is reduced, and your thirst sense becomes less acute. These problems are compounded by chronic illnesses such as diabetes and dementia, and by the use of certain medications. Older adults may have mobility problems that limits their ability to obtain water for themselves.
If you don't drink enough fluids when you are exercising vigorously and perspiring heavily, you may end up with a heat injury, ranging in severity from mild heat cramps to heat exhaustion, or potentially life-threatening heat stroke.
Prolonged or repeated bouts of dehydration can cause urinary tract infections, kidney stones, and even kidney failure. You've probably heard of electrolytes. The two most common in your body are potassium and sodium. Both of these help to carry electrical signals from cell to cell. If your electrolytes are out of balance, the normal electrical messages can become mixed up, which can lead to involuntary muscle contractions and sometimes even to a loss of consciousness.
Hypovolemic shock is one of the most serious and sometimes life-threatening complications of dehydration. This means low blood volume. This occurs when low blood volume causes a drop in blood pressure and a drop in the amount of oxygen in your body.
To prevent dehydration, drink plenty of fluids and eat foods that are high in water, such as the ones we mentioned, the fruits and vegetables. Letting thirst be your guide is an adequate daily guideline for most healthy people. But remember, you can still be dehydrated and not be thirsty. Thirst is not the only symptom. People may need to take in more fluids if they're experiencing conditions such as vomiting, diarrhea, strenuous exercise, or just being in hot weather. And don't forget the sun exposure.
If your child is vomiting or has diarrhea, start giving extra water or an oral rehydration solution at the first sign of illness. Don't wait until dehydration occurs.
In general, it's best to start hydrating the day before strenuous exercise. That's right, the day before. Producing lots of clear, dilute urine is a good indication that you're well hydrated. During the activity, replenish those fluids at regular intervals and continue drinking water or other fluids even after you've finished. You also need to drink additional water in hot or humid weather to help lower your body temperature and to replace what you lost through sweating. You may also need extra water in cold weather to combat moisture loss from dry air, especially at higher altitudes.
Now that we have mentioned the word moisturizer again in our talk about sunburns, I got to think about that term. Exactly what is a moisturizer?
These are pretty complex mixtures of chemical agents. Occlusives help hold water in the skin after application. Humectants, well, these attract moisture, and emollients that help smooth the skin. They're especially designed to soften the external layers of the skin and make it more pliable.
As we said, they are also designed to increase the skin's water content by reducing evaporation. Fats and oils, both natural and artificial, as well as the humectants, emollients, lubricants, may be part of the composition of commercial skin moisturizers.
Moisturizers are made to prevent and treat dry skin, protect the sensitive skin, improve skin tones and texture, as well as mask skin imperfections. The moisturizer can be used to prevent the skin from becoming too dry or oily, such as with the light, non-greasy water-based moisturizers. Now, these moisturizers often contain lightweight oils, such as cetyl alcohol or silicone-derived ingredients, such as cyclomethicone. For treating skin dryness, the most appropriate moisturizers are heavier, oil-based moisturizers that contain ingredients such as antioxidants, grape seed oil, or dimethicone. For very dry, cracked skin, petrolatum-based products are preferable because they simply last longer than the creams and are more effective in preventing water evaporation.
For oily skin, water-based moisturizers that are especially non-comedogenic are preferable as there is less risk of comedo formation or pimples.
For aging skin, you might want to use moisturizers that keep aging skin soft and well hydrated, such as the oil-based ones that contain the petrolatum as the base, along with antioxidants or alpha hydroxy acids, and these are used against wrinkles.
For those with sensitive skin, it is preferable to use moisturizers which contain soothing ingredients such as chamomile or aloe, and that minimize potential allergens such as fragrance or dyes, as well as irritants such as acids.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.